Hey, welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Hope everybody's off to a great start to their morning. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. Caroline Fenton will join us at 7 o'clock. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com from 8 to 9 o'clock talking all things Tennessee Titans. And, of course, your participation as always, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, which are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rexrode, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. John Tortorella, steer clear of Detroit for a while. I am doing better because I got some sleep because mid-third quarter I told the other Golden State Warriors fan in my household I'm going to bed. Yeah. Sorry about your Warriors. So pour one out for that dynasty. It was a great run. It was a great dynasty, and it's over.
It is over. There's no doubt about that. Keyser, congratulations to your Sacramento Kings.
I got three words.
Oh, yeah.
Three words
Kings
for you.
Kings fan.
Light the beam.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Is that their stupid That's little catchphrase?
Yes, it is.
There?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not the
Star Wars fans or something? What are they?
I mean, I am a Star Wars fan. That
are
would be
they?
Great.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Like, why is that their slogan?
Star Trek.
From what I gathered when I was there last year, it was something that they just started to do when they won games. I had asked around, and no one really had a clear answer for me around my seats. I was like, what
town.
Is this?
You're
I was like, I don't understand.
You needed to investigate for
I
you.
I said, I'm a new fan. What does this mean? And they're just like, well, we do it after wins. And I was like, great, thanks.
I swarmed the streets of Sacramento trying to figure out what light the beam means.
They have some light from the top of their arena, and they do it after every win.
And they light it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the beam.
Yeah.
That's what they do. I don't know if there's any more special meaning than that.
I guess not.
Whatever works, man.
Whatever works.
I mean, every year, speaking of the Red Wings, every year, you know, I don't know if they still do it, but like, because they don't go to the playoffs anymore. But every year during the playoffs, there'd be a new, like, you know, red, get the red out. Like, it's some red word play every year, and it got to the point where it's like, you know, like, you got to stop this. This doesn't make sense. Like, red meat or something. It's like, what? Yeah. It makes no sense.
A heck of a scenario in the NHL last night, too, as you pointed out. So the Flyers and the Capitals are playing each other. In order for the Flyers to stay alive in the playoff race, they had to get a regulation win. All the Capitals had to do was win. You had the Red Wings that needed to win, and they needed the Capitals to lose in regulation. And then you had Pittsburgh, like, waiting for just mass chaos. They needed, like, the Red Wings to lose. They needed the Capitals to lose as well. And then they would have had a chance tomorrow to punch their ticket, or tonight, whenever they play. But, so, it's 1-1. And the Flyers think that they have to get the regulation win. So, they pull their goalie. And Washington ends up scoring when they pull their goalie, when it's 1-1. Little did the Flyers know that the Red Wings had just gone to overtime, so they were eliminated. The Flyers were, so they didn't really have to pull their goalie, but they did. And then Washington scored, and they went and they won, and they're in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and now the Red Wings fans are very upset.
Cool, Torts. Cool. Thanks a lot, Torts. What a guy.
Very upset.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I were Torts, or I would have a whole. I would be like, I don't want to know anything. Yeah. You know, like I mean, you know your situation. You cannot let the Caps get a point. And so, I mean, I'd proceed the same way, I guess. I guess it's just because Torts. You're just like, what a jerk, man.
He really hates the city of Detroit for some reason.
Yeah.
That guy, Detroit's John Glennon.
He and John Glennon. A terrible place. I last went there in 1984.
So there you go. The playoff picture is set in terms of teams making the playoffs in both the West and the East. So you got that. By the way, Washington, I think their goal differential is like -27 or something like
37,
that.
37, I believe. Yeah.
In the playoffs.
Yeah.
So.
Yay.
Congratulations,
yeah, it would have been more fun.
New York Rangers.
I think actually it would have been more fun to have, I think, the Red Wings or Penguins in, you know, against the Rangers.
I agree.
But, oh, well.
Not to be at this point.
I mean, let's face it. The Red Wings, they got the gift of getting to play Montreal back-to-back, and they needed two miraculous.
They did.
Yeah, ridiculous goals to even win either game.
They
so,
did.
What, you know, whatever. That side at the bottom, and I saw you retweet. Someone was tweeting last night, like, here's a great example of why there's no playing crap that you need
Liam
in the
McHugh,
NHL.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's perfect. The West, it's exactly – there's nobody else who you want in, and the East is pretty weak there at the bottom.
Yeah. I mean, if there was ever a carbon copy example of why you don't need a play-in tournament in the NHL, this is probably the year for that.
And all this drama that we've seen, none of it exists if you have the play-in.
Exactly. So let's keep that away from hockey. Yeah. It'd be awesome. It's already, if the NBA wants to do it, it's stupid, but they do it. So whatever, let them do it. Don't bring that to hockey. We got Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. Looking forward to her perspective on the NFL draft. Speaking of the draft, so Nick Suss from the Tennessean, friend of the show, you know, it's mock draft season, so everybody's coming out with different versions of their mock drafts. And Suss has put out a scenario that I think is really interesting, and we talked about it a little bit last week when I talked about the idea of the Titans trading back to 9 with Chicago, and Chicago moving up to 7, taking whatever receiver they want for Caleb Williams, and then potentially the Titans moving back, gaining another pick, and still taking Joe Alt. Like, how much of a pipe dream is that? How much of a possibility could that be? Well, Suss is taking it kind of a step further here. So he's laid out, you know, when you get past the Chargers at 5 and you get into Titans territory at 7, whether it's Vegas or Atlanta or Chicago, you know, the Jets have already signed a left tackle this offseason. You've got, you know, obviously the Broncos need a quarterback. Like, there's a lot of teams around that area that don't really either need a left tackle or they have bigger needs than left tackle. So could the Titans trade back even further and still end up with Joe Alt as their pick? And Suss put this out at the Tennessean yesterday. He's got the Titans trading back to 13 and still ending up with Joe Alt, which seems like that would
be
very difficult to pull off. But in this mock draft, he's got the Titans trading back to 13, the Raiders moving up to 7 to take J.J. McCarthy, and then Atlanta going with Dallas Turner, you know, the Bears going with an outside linebacker, the Jets taking Brock Bowers, and then some other moves that have happened, like the Bills trading back up into the top to get a wide receiver, and the Titans getting down to 13 and taking Joe Alt. What do you think of that?
I think it's not realistic. What does he have any offensive tackles before Alt?
He does not.
Wow. Yeah. Like the Jets, for example. They're like the Jets, I still think that they would be a candidate for that. I mean, obviously, the Bills moving up, that's what you would need. You'd need some stuff like that.
Yeah.
For specific reasons, non-tackle reasons. But, man, I don't know. I mean, what a dream scenario for the Titans.
I think the Jets would be a candidate for it, too. But I can also see the Jets thinking to themselves, well, we signed Tyron Smith, so there solves the left tackle problem. And we need to get Aaron Rodgers some weapons. Like, he's got Garrett Wilson and not really anything else. So we need to get Aaron Rodgers some weapons. We're going Bowers. Like, I can absolutely see that's such a Jets move that I could see that happen.
I mean, I don't think it would be a bad move necessarily.
I don't know that it would be a bad move either, but I also don't agree that they've just all of a sudden solved their offensive line problems just because they went out there and signed Tyron Smith either.
Right.
But I could see where they would.
Yeah. 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 That's a dream scenario, there's no doubt, to be able to get him. And, I mean, that would be – if that were to play out that way, I'd love the history lesson on the last time a left tackle or really this offensive tackle did not go in the top dozen picks. I bet you'd have to go – I mean – I don't know. You'd have to go probably far back, like far, far back would be my guess.
Well, and again, you know, the three quarterbacks going with the top three picks and then the three receivers right after that, and then Titans moving back with the Raiders for J.J. McCarthy at 7. And, I mean, I could see that happening, like that scenario where three quarterbacks go, then the three receivers go, and then somebody getting antsy and trading up with the Titans to land McCarthy. I could see that happening. Like, the idea – like, to me, if you love Joe Alt and you're the Titans and you trade back with the Raiders at 13, then you probably need to love somebody else other than Joe Alt would be my guess, and just to make sure that you've got other options there. Because the idea of trading from 7 to 13 and the draft capital that you could get doing that and then also landing Joe Alt, like, if you could land a dream scenario for the Titans, that would probably be it.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, the quarterback thing is interesting, too. It's like, I think that he's probably gone before then. So, if the Raiders are motivated to get him, then I think they're probably looking at someone higher than the Titans to try, you know, to try to move into that spot.
Well,
right?
Maybe it's May. Like, maybe the quarterback changes. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, like, so it's like, I guess if one of them were to drop and then the Raiders are like, okay, let's do it now. You know, another thing is, that's a fine place to go, but you don't have to worry about moving in front of Atlanta, you know?
Right.
So it's not like a natural spot anymore for someone to jump into. I mean, there's a lot of reasons I don't think this will happen at all, but it's definitely like if the Titans could, and maybe the Titans wouldn't agree with this, but I think if Titans fans could craft a scenario, this would pretty much be as close as you could get to ideal.
I mean, I think, and I could be wrong about this, but I think if you're, let's say McCarthy's the one that doesn't go in the top three, and Arizona doesn't take him at four, we know LA's not taking him at five. Like, to me, if you're the Raiders and you're desperate enough where you have to have J.J. McCarthy, like, aren't you trying to trade with the Chargers to get at five because you're scared that the Giants might take him? Like, I know the Giants just signed Daniel Jones, that awful contract, but, I mean, there's all sorts of chatter that they may take a quarterback right now.
Peter Schrager seems – he had his mock draft recently, maybe yesterday or 2 days ago. He seems convinced, or at least – he seems to think there's a really good chance that the Giants are still going to jump on the QB train here.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, like, I don't think the rest of the league is worried about the Titans taking the quarterback, although there was a scenario thrown out there yesterday that got Titans fans all riled up. We'll get to that a little bit later in the program. Yeah, well, I don't think if you're the Raiders, you're probably more worried about the Giants taking a quarterback than you would be the Titans. Just my guess.
Yes, yeah. You never know.
You never know. That's the beauty of the draft. That is true. You never know. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the NFL draft. Plus, could the Titans continue to be big players in free agency once the draft is over? Who could be some options for the Titans on that front? We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning, taking your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans. The NFL draft begins a week from tomorrow, 8 days away from the NFL draft. Taking your thoughts on that. So the idea of moving back, picking up more picks, and still landing Joe Alt, be that at 9, in the case that Nick Suss from the Tennessean is thrown out there, all the way back to 13, trading back to and still landing Joe Alt. That seems a little far-fetched. But again, I said this yesterday, Joe. Like, we base all of our – I shouldn't say we is like me speaking for everybody. Most people base all of, like, their information and the way they view some of these prospects and all that stuff and how the draft is going to go based on mock drafts that we've seen this time of year, right? I mean, that's what we do. And we all get caught up in it. And as much as we talk about, oh, my gosh, it's mock draft season, mock draft this, mock draft that.
There's no way this guy would go here.
Right. Like, right. That's what it is. And it feels like every year there's at least – something that happens, and last year it was the Levis thing where you're like, well, didn't see that one coming. And maybe the way it shakes out is Joe Alt falls down a little bit, goes to 13, 14, and the Titans could pick him up. So it's a way of me saying, like, I think it's easy. We're so conditioned with all the mock drafts that we've seen that the draft is going to go a certain way, and sometimes it just doesn't go that way. And it takes everybody by surprise when that happens.
Yeah, it is. Like, you basically kind of set your reality based on the consensus of the draft boards. And look, I mean, most of the way they shake out, most of them are very similar, and most of them make sense. I mean, we know that the quarterbacks usually rise to the top, and, you know, if there's a consensus, or like Dane Brugger said, there's really no consensus. But if there's, you know, the bulk of people who do this for a living believe that, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is a certain level of player, et cetera, then, you know, you can easily kind of chart it out. But then it does become like this. Let's remember, like, this is like some information from teams, and this is some information from film and things like that, and it's all combined, and it's a guess, but it's not like this is not verified in any way. It's not like the NCAA tournament, you know, NCAA selection committee, like a month before the tournament now, they do the thing where they put out their top four seeds. Okay, well, that's actually what they think. So you have a little bit of a baseline of, okay, so this is what they think at this moment in time. We don't have that with this, but I think we do kind of think we do it. I'm guilty of that for sure.
Well, and again, like I think it happens a lot with like quarterbacks. They generate the attention in terms of you think a certain quarterback is going to go here, and then sometimes they don't. I mean, the Will Levis example comes to mind. Obviously, you know, everybody remembers Aaron Rodgers of there was talk he could be the number one pick.
Brady Quinn's another one.
Brady Quinn's another one. Like, so the quarterbacks generate a lot of attention, but usually like every year there's somebody who's sitting there that you thought was going to go in the top 12, 15 that slides down into the 20s, and you're like, okay, well, how'd that happen? What happened with that person there? I mean, sometimes it's Laramie Tunzel gas mask photos.
Yeah, no, that's right. Or sometimes Mike Mayock just takes someone who everybody has a third-round pick at number 10 or whatever,
sometimes that happens.
Mock draft did not have that. So, well,
all it takes is one.
Yeah. I mean, 2 years ago, the QB thing was – there were definitely – and that – it was interesting because there was a lot of – I mean, the information was, yeah, it's not good. They're not good. But there's still a lot of people in their mock drafts like, yeah, I don't care. It's QBs. They're going to be at the top of the draft. That's how it always is. And, you know, so it turned out that, like, a lot of the information was right, but some people still wouldn't believe it.
Exactly. So on the other part of this, like, if you're the Titans, you've already had your first wave of free agency. You were incredibly active, be that via trade, be that just the straight-up free agents you signed. In the secondary, obviously on the offensive line with Cushenberry coming in, running back with Pollard coming in, and then Calvin Ridley at wide receiver. So you've been very active in free agency to this point. You've got the draft coming up, which is where the attention lies now. But there's also still, you know, some decent free agents that are out there and available. One thing Kuharsky said last week, and I think I totally agree with, like safety I still think is a need for the Titans. It's not the top need, but it is a need. And based on who's still out there in free agency, I'm probably not touching safety in the draft unless somebody falls where you're just like, well, we have no choice but to take this person in the fourth round or whatever it is. But, you know, Jamal Adams is out there. Justin Simmons is out there. Diggs is still out there. Marcus May is out. I mean, there's a lot of guys at safety that are still out there and available. So I wonder – once the draft kind of concludes, what could the Titans still be up to in the free agent pool to continue to supplement the roster? And safety is probably, from that perspective, the top position that comes to mind.
Yeah.
That was a good mute. Yeah, I mean, that's it makes sense from that perspective because you have some veteran options. I mean, you know, I still go with, like, if you just come up on a pick and actually your top player is a safety, okay. And it's not a bad thing to – have a young safety too.
Sure.
There are definitely, if you just go by need and positions of need, I would put, I mean, I had to do a thing like a, you know, thing for the Athletic, and I actually put my top four as the obvious. I went left tackle, right tackle, edge, inside linebacker. And I think after that, I'd go interior defensive line, and then I'd probably go receiver.
Yeah.
And then I'd probably go safety. So position of need, but even though like they're not deep at safety, but that's part of it. The veterans available, but still, I mean, if you're the Titans, you're in love with a certain prospect at that position, okay, and you think that player is better than like the linebacker that's available, then okay, do that.
David in Murfreesboro on the text line: isn't Joe Alt a Bruce Matthews generational top two talent in the entire draft? How could he last until pick number 9? This from David from Murfreesboro on the text line.
No one has said that.
He's generational.
If you're not being facetious there, no, he's not considered a generational. I mean, if he was, then I think that, you know, he still may not go because, like, you know, the quarterback needy. If you have quarterback needs at the top of the draft and it's a good quarterback draft like this one is, okay, then the quarterbacks are going right away. But if he were that, then I think that he would – I think there'd be a lot more people talking about him in the top five. And again, I mean, the most popular projection for him is 7 because it's the Titans and it's right. their need. But, like, again, we asked – I mean, I asked Brugler that question the other day, Dane Brugler, about, like, how he compares to pass. And, again, he's, like, basically, to summarize, like, he's really good. He's the top offensive lineman in this draft, and he compares to something like a Jake Matthews. And I know some people don't get excited by that, but if I were the Titans, I'd sign up for that.
Well, again, and again, you could be a really good player without being like a generational
yeah.
talent. Look, maybe
that's what you want. You want generational talent, but that's not what he's supposed to be.
Well, and it's not, but you look, maybe he is. Like, you know, if you told me right now that he, you know, you take Joe Alt, he ends up making, you know, 8 Pro Bowls, 7-time All Pro. Like, okay, cool.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's not like the most shocking outcome. It would be him obviously maxing out and probably improving, which, again, is possible.
Getting coached up.
It's possible for a 22-year-old pro athlete to, like, be better at 25 and at 28. That is possible.
In all seriousness, that is certainly possible, hopefully likely. And then that is where the Bill Callahan part of this comes in, too, because I think so many people from the Bill Callahan perspective are focusing on, like, how deep could the Titans go to have Bill Callahan coach somebody up so you could also solve other needs? And I still wonder, like, what could Bill Callahan do with Joe Alt? Like, you know, if Joe Alt is the top tackle in the draft, what could Bill Callahan do with the top tackle in the draft? Like, how good could he make it? That's, I think, a really intriguing question if you're the Titans.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, you know, when he talks, I'm sure sometime this spring he'll be like, yeah, you know, I like the best players.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's like, I'd like to find out what I can do with the best tackle.
Oh,
I'd
love to coach.
Not the ninth best tackle.
I'd love to coach the best offensive lineman possible.
Yeah.
That's who I'd love to coach.
Because, you know, good coaches also kind of, I think they know their limitations too.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. We encourage your participation, as always, on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Jared Companies, Fire and Commercial Plumbing HVAC Division, 615-515-1270, or JaredCompaniesInc.com. I am in the questions chair today. Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser, would we like to begin with sports or non-sports?
Non-sports.
Non-sports. That was very quick. All right. Your favorite car you've ever owned. It doesn't have to be the most expensive. It doesn't have to be your biggest purchase. Just your favorite car that you've ever owned.
I am very unexciting. I mean, I can go first if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I've had a series of boring cars. I mean, my wife and I, you know, Katie and I have argued for decades now over a Jeep Wrangler, which I think is too dangerous and we still haven't bought, but she's wanted forever.
So, okay.
To tell you a little bit about me. So this is the dorkiest answer ever, but the first Chevy Traverse we got when we had the kids were little and it had a little movie screen in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a very, very solid, safe, very, very strong vehicle. That would be my number one.
I mean, I'm a very sturdy vehicle.
I'm
it was
a total loser. I also shout out to my Mazda GLC, my first car that my 1985 Mazda GLC.
Nice. Very nicely done. Nick Kieser.
I would say I just got a new car.
I know.
So I'll spare that answer. Because
I did too, which is kind of what sparked this question.
That's not your answer? You're not excited about your new car?
No, I am. I think that's just too easy of an answer. I liked how you gave us a story.
Deep cut. He's going with a deep cut.
Yeah.
Okay. What you got?
When my dad was looking for a new car, when we were, I want to say I was like 10 or 12 maybe, he got a Honda Element for us to, like, you know, be, you know, he mainly got it for us to be, you know, just commuted just everywhere. And he thought, you know what, this might be fun. You know, I'll take the boys on trips in this car and put like a DVD thing in the back and stuff. I have good memories from that. I really enjoyed that car. Now, looking back at it now, I'd be like, Honda Element? Like, what is this? But
jeez, so you've become more snobby as you've gotten older.
A little bit. Okay. But, yeah, I do enjoy my 23 Bronco now. That's a good car. Mm. I really do enjoy that car.
Humble brag.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah exactly.
Anywho, a little bit used, good price. There we go. There you go. Robbie,
My first vehicle was a 2001 Dodge Ram.
That had two colors, right?
You did have two colors. My father had owned it, obviously, and had hit a few different things with it. So by the time it got around to me, it had a silver kind of grayish body with a bright red hood. So, like, everywhere that I went in the city of Hendersonville, everybody, okay, here's Robbie. Yeah. That couldn't sneak up on anybody. Like, it was,
nice.
Big gray truck with a red hood. But it was a beautiful truck. It got me from where I needed to be. It's lovely. My favorite vehicle of all time. The 2001 Dodge Ram with the silver body and the red hood.
Nice. That's like a defining car, man.
Yeah, man. Everybody knew when I was coming somewhere. And all these kids driving, like, you know, Beamers and all this other stuff. I'm like, hey, here's Robbie with a multicolored car. I like
it. Every kid at Hendersonville had something fancy.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody.
It's a little ridiculous.
Freaking commandos.
I'm not giving a 16-year-old some really fancy car, but that was not the way some of these parents operated back then.
It is not.
It is not.
It's still not.
That's right. All right, on the sports front, Gus Nyquist had an unbelievable impact as a free agent for the Nashville Predators. You could put Ryan O'Reilly in that category too, but Nyquist just kind of out of nowhere. He's been a really good player, has never really been a great player. He's been a great player this year. You could choose a free agent on the Titans to have a Gus Nyquist-like impact for this team. Who would it be? One person. A Gus Nyquist-type impact.
So, just to clarify then.
Let's take L'Jarius Sneed out of this from the trade point.
Okay. I think the answer would be, well, you know what? I'll give you the answer.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a different one, but I'll go Kenneth Murray.
Okay.
Because Kenneth Murray, for people who don't remember, like at Oklahoma or whatever, you know, you're talking about, what did he go, number 8 in the draft? I mean, he went, right? Like
pretty high, yeah.
I mean, he's a first-round pick. I mean, that, and it hasn't been great, but, I mean, if that guy has a Nyquist-like emergence here where it's like, oh, geez, I didn't realize he was actually that good. I think that would be a huge deal.
23rd overall, by the way.
Okay, thank you. For the Titans, I think he's got the tools to be really good. We'd never talk about him, but, yeah, I will go with him.
There you go. I like that answer. Nick Kieser.
That's a good one. The day that y'all were gone, that's what I kind of talked about, was I was hoping he would be something decent.
The day we were gone.
Man, that was crazy.
The day that Rex Road was asleep and Robbie was on the side of the road stranded.
That was a great day. The good old days.
My answer would be Calvin Ridley. I mean, it's hard to think that he is going into his sixth season, which is wild.
Yep.
But I think he could have a pretty big year, depending on, you know, if he stays healthy, but also, you know, how much is he going to get the ball this year from Will Levis? And, you know, I think it would shock me if he had anywhere near some, I don't know what 70 points would basically equate to in football. Maybe that's like 8 touchdowns or 9 touchdowns, maybe something like that. But for Calvin Ridley, I think this would be a huge year for him if he can and do anything kind of like what Gus has this year for Nashville.
There's a couple different options that I'm considering here. I think Cheeto would be a great pick because if you had him play out of his mind well and you had Sneed next to him, that's a heck of a 1-2 combo in the secondary. So that is probably my answer. I'll go with Cheeto. I gave heavy consideration also to Tony Pollard. Like if Pollard comes in and the knee stuff is totally behind him and he's great, that would be very good news for the Tennessee Titans. But Cheeto, my answer.
Yeah.
Pairing with Snead.
I like that. But Ridley is definitely, I mean, Ridley might fit the bill as close as anybody because we all agree he's very good.
Yeah.
Is he going to be great? If he's great here, then that's pretty good.
That's pretty darn good
for the Titans.
No question about it. All right, back to non-sports as they're lighting the beam in Sacramento on the TV right now. Your favorite place to travel to in the continental United States. It has to be in the continental United States, your favorite place to travel to. So that eliminates Maui for Rex Road. Sorry.
Yeah, that's too bad. Ooh, that's a tough one. You guys go ahead.
Keezer, you got one?
I would say California. I love going out there. I really do. I would never live there, but I love going out there. I have tons of family that's there, but also my dad and I have gone to the Bay Area at times, and that's a really, really fun time for us when I can go see what, you know, his family roots were like. So I'll say California. Good spot for us.
I mean, the easy answer for me is Orlando because I've been there 1,000 times, so I love that place. I'll go off the board. Lake Powell out in Arizona. It's awesome. We were out there. We did some kayaking out there, and you can get out. I mean, it's just desert lake, and it's pretty cool. So I'll go Lake Powell.
Never heard of that place. Yeah. That's cool.
Okay. That's cool. God, it's so hard. I've been to Cape Cod once.
Okay.
And that's pretty awesome in the summer. I got to probably go beach. I mean, I love, like, L.A., San Fran, New York. I love New Orleans. I mean, that's kind of like Katie and I, you know, that's where we went on our honeymoon.
Pretty good food there.
It's pretty good food. It's a honeymoon spot. We like to go there once in a while. You know what? I'll go Charleston. Charleston, South Carolina, because it's like a clean, smaller New Orleans, but also the beaches are awesome. So there you go.
Very good. I like that. It's like they got some cobblestone roads, too.
Yep.
It's like going back in time.
Yes.
All right. Last one, sports. The most damaging draft pick in Tennessee Titans history. The most damaging draft pick in Tennessee Titans history. I think there are several options you can go with here, which does not speak well of some of the Titans draft history, but the most damaging pick in history. Who would like to go first? I can go first. I'm going to go, because of the way that it played out, I'm going to go Vince Young. And the reason I say that is Vince had the great first year, and then it kind of fell apart on him after that. And because it fell apart on him, that led to the drafting of Jake Locker, which was also terrible. And then that led to the drafting of Marcus Mariota, which was also not great. Now, he wasn't as bad as those other two. But it was a cycle. After they couldn't get the Vince Young pick right, it led to a whole bunch of just scrambling and swimming around at the quarterback position. That's why, you know, when we talk about Ryan Tannehill unquestionably being the second greatest quarterback in the history of the Tennessee Titans, it's because all those other ones failed, and it started with Vince Young. So he's my answer.
That's a good one. I do think of I remember I wrote about this one time a long time ago about the 2005 draft because they took Pac-Man Jones.
Oh yeah.
So obviously on the field he had some good stretches. Off the field it was a complete disaster. But also they're one of many teams that watch Aaron Rodgers go pass. So from the perspective of like what you could have done instead, I think I would go Pac-Man Jones because it could have been Aaron Rodgers. But, I mean, honorable mention, I mean, look, to me it's like 20 and 21.
I know.
They were in a position where if you make good picks in 20 and 21, I mean, it could look completely different around here.
Yeah.
So it's very close between those two, even though I guess I'm copping out with Isaiah Wilson and Caleb Farley together, but they just go so well together. Because they were back-to-back.
Nick Keezer?
Yeah, you could certainly write a book about a lot of these guys for sure. Mine would be just based on growing up and remembering maybe the impact he could have had, depending on what he was going to be, Jake Locker. Oh, okay. My gosh. I remember,
that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, I remember sitting with my buddies. We would, you know, be watching the games, and we would be like, you know, he might be something pretty good, but then he got hurt a lot. And then when he was on the IR, you know, late in his career, basically not too late. He's a young guy at the time, but man, it was rough to see him not have a successful career. That was a really big bust that was not really in control of him whatsoever, but definitely sucks to see a guy like that not really prevail during his time in the NFL.
It's interesting, like thinking about, let's say Vince Young worked out. And he's only 40 right now. Jake Locker's only 35 right now.
Still be playing.
He'd still be playing. He'd still be here.
From afar, I will say that of those two guys, when they drafted Vince Young, I was like, well, I'm a Titans fan now. Yeah. I love Vince. You know, because in college, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then when they drafted Jake Locker, I was like, that is a disastrous pick. That guy can't hit. I mean, he's a great athlete, but he can't throw.
Turns out he couldn't throw.
Yeah, and couldn't stay healthy. But that, I don't know, that's – I had totally different viewpoints of those two things from afar, and, of course, they both failed.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Boy, did Stilly stir up a Hornets nest yesterday talking about scenario for the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Gone through the text line yet? I do want to get to your phones. Again, all I'm saying is if Drake May's there at 7, to me it's a no-brainer. You take Drake May and then you figure it out with Levis. And I don't understand this idea of, well, we used a second-round pick last year on the quarterback, so we can't get a better quarterback this year. How many of you wish you could go back in time and tell John Robinson with the 5th overall pick in 2017 to draft Patrick Mahomes because Mariota ain't that good?
That's Jarrett Stillman yesterday on the program, going through some different draft scenarios. And threw it out there, and this get I'm sure the text line, but certainly Twitter. I saw it on Twitter going, of Titans fans just screaming at Stillman yesterday about the idea that if Drake May is there and is available at number 7, that the Titans should take him, even though they took Will Levis last year. Now, look, I mean, everybody was screaming at Stillman about it being totally unrealistic, and I mostly agree. Like, I don't think Drake May is going to be there, but, like, there are more shocking things that have happened in the history of the draft than Drake May falling down to 7. I mean, that can't happen. So,
absolutely.
Just to throw that out.
Look, Drake May falling to 7 this year is not as surprising, in my opinion, as Will Levis not going to the first round at all last year.
I agree.
It's not as surprising as what happened to Aaron Rodgers.
For sure.
So it is possible. And I understand the idea, you know, what Jared's saying there, you know, and he gives the trusty example of where did Mahomes go? 10th? Is that right? The Chiefs take him
10th?
10th.
Yeah, 10th or 12th. I think 10th.
So, you know, I understand that. However, if you want to talk about probability, if you want, we can go through all the first-round quarterbacks, you know, year after year after year, and you're going to sit there and say, good Lord, 90% of them are crap.
Yeah.
And so – and I'm not saying Drake May. I mean, I think Drake May is very talented. I would say that if he did drop to 7, I would start to wonder, okay, because sometimes there's buzz that's just BS, and sometimes there's buzz that's, you know, that has something to it.
Yep.
If he were to drop out of there, I would first of all, I'd wonder why, of course. Also, if you were to do that, that's one of those things that I think that you would be screwing yourself over. Like you also have a finite, you know, number of years to create a winner. If you're Rand Carthon, if you're Brian Callahan, the only way that would make sense to me is if actually privately they really don't believe in Levis, right? I mean, like if they do believe in Levis, or they believe that there's a decent chance that he can be what they need him to be and hope he is, then that would be, to me, just a terrible pick.
Well, I have three thoughts on this. Number one, I think the chances of this, like Drake May even being there, are very, very slim. So the chances that this even remotely can happen are very small. So with that caveat kind of behind it, I've said this before, and I totally stand by this. If the quarterback is the most important position in professional sports, bar none, it's the most important position in professional sports. So, if you are Rand Carthon, and if you're Brian Callahan, and you get through your pre-draft process, and Brian Callahan walks into your office if you're Rand Carthon and says, you know what? You know who I really love? Drake May. Like, that guy, I think, has a chance to be an absolute superstar quarterback. Here's my draft grade on him. It's whatever the draft grade is. Our draft grade on Levis was this, and May is super. It's just a lot. It's night and day. It's not even close. Drake May is going to be the better pro. Then you take him. That's what it is. To me, you have to figure out the quarterback part of it. And if you believe that Drake May is that much better than Will Levis, then you take Drake May. I have no issue with that. The other part of this that I think Titans fans need to chill out on a little bit, and we heard a lot of this yesterday as I was listening to Stillman, I think there's a lot of Titans fans that are already just totally convinced that Will Levis is a franchise quarterback. And I don't know how you could possibly be convinced of that to this point. Look, I I, for the most part, was incredibly impressed by what I saw from Levis last year. The arm strength, the moxie, I really like. I like a lot of things about Will Levis. I think he's got a chance to be a really good player. So, you know, the likely scenario here is, I mean, likely is probably not even the right word. The scenario that's going to happen here is the Titans are going to go draft left tackle something, and Will Levis is going to be the quarterback. I'm just saying, though, like the outright dismissal of if your head coach and GM go through the evaluation process, which is what you're supposed to do, by the way. You're supposed to evaluate these guys. And they get to the other side of it, and there's a big he is going to be better than Will Levis. And you have a problem with that? I don't understand that. It's the most important position in professional sports.
Yeah, it is. And that's fine. I mean, but just, the statement, he is going to be better than Will Levis, well, just remember, you don't know that. I mean, yeah, you got to go with your evaluation for sure. I mean, I agree. Right. If you are like, everything we have says –
Let me change the phrase. If you are convinced of it.
Yeah. So just quickly, just a few first-round delights of recent years. Kenny Pickett, of course, was the one. In 21, you know, the first round, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, they were all going to be so freaking good, weren't they?
Yeah.
Now, you did have 20 was pretty good. Burrow, Tua, Herbert, Jordan Love. And coming all the way around to Jordan Love, yep. Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins in 19. I mean, you know, you got Darnold and you got Baker and you got Josh Rosen in 18. Yeah, every year, like
good old Josh Rosen.
2017, Mahomes was 10th, by the way, yep. Along with Trubisky and Watson. Oh, DeShone Kizer just missed the first round that year. I mean, it's my God, Goff, Wentz. And Paxton Lynch in 2016. Yeah. It says having these flashbacks, and of course, Jameis and Marcus were 1-2 in 15. I'm just going back. I mean, I keep going. Blake Bortles and Johnny Manziel and Teddy Bridgewater were the 2014 first rounders. I mean, right. It's on and on and on. It's way more likely you're going to fail. You have to keep doing it. They will keep doing it forever and ever, but it's way more likely you're going to fail. So I don't disagree with anything you said, but like, I still feel like there also has to be an element of real doubt about Levis. Because I'm with you. Titans fans who are convinced he's a franchise quarterback, you're going overboard. But I think that there's a pretty good chance that he's pretty good.
Well, I would also say, like, if you're convinced that he's not, I mean, that's equally as insane to me. Like, if you're convinced that there's no way that he's a franchise quarterback.
And there's plenty of that, too.
Right.
Yeah, everybody thinks they know everything.
I mean, yeah.
And A good thing this time of year is to let's all admit that we don't know a damn thing about what these guys are going to be in the NFL.
But that's also, I think, a lot of what this year is about is uncovering that answer, right? That's why you went and got Ridley, and that's why, I mean, you've changed the head coach. Like, you've done a lot of things that you're going to begin to find out the answer as to whether or not he is this year. So, again, Drake May likely not going to be available. If he is, I do agree. Like, if he is available at 7, you do start to wonder, okay. Why is he available at 7? Like, what are all these teams seeing that allowed him to drop this way? I'm just saying, in general, like, there was so much screaming at Stilly yesterday, I think because it's Stilly. But, like, the idea of if those specific circumstances are met and your head coach and GM are convinced that whatever quarterback prospect it is better than the quarterback you have, then you take the quarterback prospect every single time. Every time.
That's fair. I guess Kaharski's texting. Why don't you put your name on your thing, PK? Says, Stilly's so good at building a team, he trades up for a QB in the third, trades up for one in the second, and spends number 7 on one when they have huge holes. It's better than the Jack Conklin replacement plan. That's Paul Kaharski's comment.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll be joined by Caroline Fenton coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.